hearts. Sharp swords with handle art to spar trolls and charge tolls to cross roads. Where bandits are catacombs and giant doors. Protect the chest and store some legendary items with the dragon bones and iron.
It's horse. A grand theft of Elder Scrolls. Simon's quest with Toe and Earl. Rocket shoes to Everclue. Easter eggs and gaming news. The POTUS need some bad dudes to crash your crew like Bandicoot. All shit a gaming and glitch control issues. Control issues.
Yes, yes, y'all.
Yes, y'all. Yes, y'all.
Yes, y'all. Well, this is Control Issues. I am the AMC.
And this is A-Dub. You can find us at control-issues.com. You can also go to your podcast provider, whoever that may be. Look for Control Issues, download it, subscribe to it, rate it, review it. Head on over to twitch.tv/controlissuespod, where we put up gameplay videos for your viewing pleasure. Drop us a line, controlissuespod@gmail.com. It's also controlissuespod over on Blue Sky. Give us some spins on Spotify. And this is the part where I ask the AMC how he's living.
Living well, A-Dub. Not much going on. Back-to-back-to-back weeks.
That's what I'm talking about. Of it. Getting keep reps in.
That consistency.
Staying in the gym.
Exactly, yeah. Speaking of, yeah, I've been getting in my workouts. I do two every week. Been staying on that, getting it in consistently. Got in my workout yesterday. Getting my Monday workout. That's been going well. We got to get to a point soon where I'm going to need to add a little more weight, but liking where I'm at with the reps and the weight where I'm at right now. It just gives me the challenge. I got the nice music selection going on, so I got the playlist is right. A lot of UK rap. And
Any Loyal Corner in there?
Nah, right now it's Central C, Dave, and a little Skepta, and this guy Tion Wayne. Tion Wayne's been the dude that I've been just getting into. He has he's a shit. He has a couple like feet collabs with this guy Russ Million, and yeah, whenever they get together it's just magic. So yeah, they've been something about that, just that UK like beats, like the like that grime, mm-hmm. all that, like it's great for working out too. So yeah, really enjoying that. And yeah, other than that, watching Demon Slayer. Yeah, as I said last week, I finished Solo Leveling, at least season two of Solo Leveling, and then so jumped into Demon Slayer. And so I'm about to hop into the the last season of it, and I look at it, I'm like, oh, I need a refresher, let me see what happened in the swordsmith arc. So let me go check this out and see what happened. And I go and I look at it, and it's all looking like just new, like I had never seen it before. And I was like, I know I watched this. Let me just pull up an episode, like one of the later episodes, just to see if it would jog my memory. And I had no memory of it at all. Like, it was weird. I even have my television journal, like, that I read it last year at this point. Yada, yada. And I was like, I only watched this a year ago, and I have no memory of it at all. And so I'm now in the process of rewatching the Swordsmith arc, which is, it's hilarious because I remember the Entertainment District like I watched it yesterday. For some reason, the Swordsmith arc just went completely over my head. I don't know what was going on in my life when I watched it at that time, but none of it retained. So rewatching it again, and it's great because it's all familiar. So it's like, oh, I kind of remember this, but if I were to ask myself what's going to happen next, no clue at all. So it does feel like it's like watching it for the first time, but with a lot of familiarity of certain things, which is funny because one of the parts of the Swordsmith arc is about Ahashira, who has lost his memory. And so like as he's battling one of the upper demons, like so his memories are coming back to him. And that's kind of how it feels like for me watching this. And it's great though, getting back into Demon Slayer, just the art style is just so ridiculous. The combat, the characters, Tanjiro is so awesome, Nezuko's the shit. The demons are terrible but awesome at the same time, and then like the swordsmith bringing that comic relief, but you also appreciate their dedication. It's like they can't fight, but this doesn't exist without the swordsmith because they're the ones who get the weapons right. And yeah, so Really, it's awesome to just see that, to revisit that, see the village that where all the weapons come from, and get a little bit of their backstory, and to see some of this combat, like it's just the sword action, the breathing, the fire breathing, the mist breathing. It's all coming back to me in a way that like I can't get enough. So it's great because I'll be able to watch this, and then I'll be able to watch the season right after this, which will then pretty much catch me up, because I still have to watch the movie whenever that comes out.
Oh my
But
goodness.
yeah, it's just going from Solo Leveling to Demon Slayer. Like, as much as I like Solo Leveling, just Demon Slayer is just, it's up there with just like goated status, like with some of the like Attack on Titan and some of my all-time favorite animes. And so yeah, it's just great to be back in that world again, and to see those characters, and to see that action. Just can't get enough of it. That's pretty much all I got. Marissa and I watching British Baking Show, finished
Yes.
whatever season, I think, like basically we caught up to the most recent season, and so now we're starting that, and we're,
It's still going on.
oh yeah, shows, I'm assuming they didn't cancel it after this season, because the show is just, it's one of those staple British shows that's been on forever, so I feel like it'd be a big deal if that show ever got canceled.
Yes.
But yeah, still enjoying that. Marissa loves it because it's one of those, she doesn't like the heavy drama, like two biggest stakes and every episode is do or die. Like, she likes a nice calm watch when it's like when it's time to get ready, like something to watch right before bed. And so British Baking Show is like that perfect mood for like getting you like to like easily landing the plane before you got to go to bed for the night, as opposed to getting all high strung and it's like now you got to go lay down. It's yeah, so we're enjoying that. We haven't watched shows in a while. We've been like so heavy in the Stardew Valley. It's nice to get back into TV again. So we're gonna watch that, finish the season, and then we'll figure out where if we're gonna get back into our next game. So I got a couple in mind that I still want to play, and then or if we're gonna start another show. But that's all for me, A-Dub. How has your life been this week?
Well, speaking of working out, your boy A-Dub was completely lazy this week. Didn't do anything. I feel like trash. And I need to get back up on that horse. Got the birthday coming up in a couple weeks, so I at least
Yes.
I want to hit that with some forward momentum, if you will. So gonna try to go hard these next couple weeks. Hopefully I don't hurt myself, but if I don't, I feel like I will gain significantly, and I'll be closer to where I want to be for me to get back in action. And so far as television and film, I mean, Abbott Elementary is back,
Yes.
and it's nice to reunite with those characters all over again and get back into those shenanigans, see what they're up to, see what's new. So I'm excited about new episodes of that. Kaiju number 8 is done, unfortunately. Gachiakuta, that's still rolling. I'm having a blast with that. I just saw a very interesting episode where one character beats the living daylights out of another character. And that's about as much as I'm gonna say there, because it's a very interesting scene. So if you're watching that anime, I'd like to know your opinion of how that was handled. So feel free to write in controlissuespod@gmail.com. What else is going on? I mean, Rising of the Shield Hero still going strong. I'm having it. I feel like I started something. I've been watching, it's this documentary series on Netflix. I believe it's called Bad Sports or something like that. And it seems like every episode is about some big sports scandal and how, and just the perspective from the people who were involved. And it's always like, oh, this dude, he was doing this or he was doing that. But then there was this whole underbelly of drugs. Like I was watching, or something, like something similar to that, where
Yeah.
like one episode was, I think his name was Stephen Head Williams. He was involved with a point shaving scandal in Las Vegas. And it was just going down the circumstances of like how he got in that situation, how he met the people, how they fixed the games, how the money was made, and then ultimately how it all came apart and how they all got caught. And then another, I think the second episode was about like this random dude. He was a big time weed trafficker. Like he would go to the Bahamas and like Colombia and come back with just tons of weed, make millions of dollars. And he was doing that to fund his professional racing career. because it costs millions of dollars to get the cars, get the crew, and everything. So he was just funding it with,
Moving weight.
dude, like I never would have thought of this because, I wouldn't make the best drug dealer, but he was like, yeah, what you do is you get a cargo ship, and then at the bottom where, where the hull is, and they fill in the water in order to make the ship float or whatever, to balance the ship, like just section off the whole bottom of the ship and fill it with weed.
Jesus.
Was like, it was like one run, $15 million, another run, $45 million. It was just like, and weed, like not cocaine, which fetches a far greater street value. Weed, that's so much weed, but it's a great series. So I'm keeping up with that. Somebody, one of my coworkers, was involved with a series called Heist, where they basically articulate some of the bigger, some big heists that occurred, and shows like how they got away with it and then how ultimately they didn't get away with it. So it's like two episodes per story. It's a six-part series. So catching up on things like that, just staying on top of my grown man stuff, trying to keep things clean and orderly around here. My plants are flourishing, which I'm always going to be excited about. And yeah, that's about all that's new with me, my good man.
All right, well, you haven't been hitting the gym, so I know you've been hitting them games, A-Dub. So what you been playing?
Yeah, and I feel miserable about it, but at least I'm having a good time when I'm doing it. But have I been playing, of course, Borderlands 4. They continue to bring out patches faster than I expect them to. This latest patch was a whole balance patch for all four of the Vault Hunters to bring some of their builds up to the same level as some of the more popular ones. So, big buffs across the board. However, with the patch, it specifically removes the bleed damage from my character. And it's like, that's what my build was based on. So I'm doing like a portion of my damage. They know about it. They're gonna fix it. So I'm not tripping. I'm just taking it kind of easy. It's just, things are a little bit tougher when enemies aren't melting the way that you designed yourself to.
Broke my build.
They broke my build. They don't know what they're doing. Randy's a hack. Nah. Randy, you're good. Just keep putting the patches out. Keep the tweets to a minimum. We'll be all good. But yeah, playing Borderlands 4, playing with my brother. We're still on Ultimate Vault Hunter 3, but now that we're both on the same level, we're going to be pushing to Ultimate Vault Hunter 4 and beyond, which should be a lot easier once I get my bleed damage back. Playing that, I decided to spin up a bleed barbarian for season 10 of Diablo. And man, it's like riding a bike. It's like reuniting with a best friend. It's like falling in love with something all over again. It's just that Diablo goodness. You get in, you start wrecking shit, you start getting gear, you start getting power, you start doing little events, you start going places, you start moving the seasonal quest along, you start filling in that rep board, you start getting your season rewards, filling in that reliquary, and it comes back. And like, yeah, I'm having a lot more fun with bleed on the barbarian this time around because I'm paying closer attention to how the moves behave. And like, oh, so I do this, it'll make them vulnerable. Then I do this, I'm hitting more of them, and it's really stacking that bleed up. And then I do this, and it detonates all that bleed damage. And it's just like, okay, now I have a defined, like, what is it, terms of engagement, if you will. And I have that rigid and defined. And as I'm just adding more aspects and equipment into my build, as my power continues to grow, it's like, oh, okay, now I really see like where the real power is coming from and how this is punctuated. So it's dope, man. I always have fun with Diablo. I'm looking forward to pushing this just a little bit more. But this is one of those rare times where Diablo isn't the focal point of my attention. That's because your man A-Dub has been playing Ghost of Yote. And then it's, oh man, where to begin? I mean, of course, it's not a great departure from Ghost of Tsushima. It gives you all the classic stuff, but just improved and expanded upon in subtle ways, in smart ways. You still have the HUDless design where the wind is guiding you where to go. The foxes are taking you to treasure. The golden birds are taking you to points of interest, and things like that. But now it's just the world feels more believable, more lived in, more alive. People are still going from to and fro doing their thing. People are randomly setting up camps, and you have opportunities to either interact with them peacefully or aggressively, depending on who's there and what's happening. You're a wanted, you're a wanted mercenary yourself. So you got to deal with people recognizing while you're out and about trying to collect your bounty. But at the same token, you also got to make money so you can take bounties and go look for people as well. You're pushing the story. You're playing as your girl Atsu. It's hundreds of years after Jin's story in Ghost of Tsushima. The Yotei Six have murdered your whole family. You're out for revenge, I think, like 15 years later or something around there. And yeah, man, as she's returning to her home, you have the ability to transition between the past and the present, so you could play through her memories, get to know her story, see how close her family was, learn lessons that she got from her father and things like that, that open up other activities and other opportunities for you to get things such as charms or, bamboo cuts, raise up spirit. Even with those kind of mini games, it goes like the next step. Like with the bamboo cutting, sometimes a piece will pop off and go in the air, and you got another opportunity to hit another button combination real quick and cut that one. You can learn songs. It's not a complicated system, but they find little interesting ways to integrate the touchpad and like get you really engaged and feeling like you're performing the action rather than issuing a command. I'm having a blast with it. It looks like as good, if not better, than Assassin's Creed Shadows, which is saying a lot, but it just has this art style and this, it punches more. Like combat is a little tighter and smoother because it's, you don't have a bunch of combos and a bunch of different, like a bit like you do, but everything is just woven together a little more tightly to give you a more fluid experience at all times. I mean, it's, oh man, it's utterly brutal. I'm playing on lethal, so I'm going down like one or two hits almost all the time. Like those first 15 or 20 hours were absolutely soul crushing. Like, but it forces you to learn the combat system, and it goes both ways. Like, of course, the bosses are going to be absorbing more hits than you might want, but as long as you're playing the game properly, as long as you're getting your upgrades, expanding your health, increasing your spirit, you're going to get the tools that give you the breathing room to be able to go even into the most deadly combat scenarios and, just come out by the skin of your teeth or find some way to narrowly escape the jaws of death. Man, it's an awesome game, and I love how it takes all the old things from Tsushima and just puts a slightly different spin on them in different ways, like even down to the various modes you can play in. Like there's the Mikkei mode where you have more dirt and more blood, and I think the camera's tighter, so combat is a little more intense. But then you have the Watanabe mode, which is the director, a Samurai Champloo, and like initially I was kind of hating because I had an idea in my mind of what I wanted it to be, and it wasn't that. But I kept finding myself going back and forth between the game's original score as well as the Watanabe mode. Now I'm rocking the Watanabe, man. It's just nice to get those hits, a lo-fi beats that just give you that Champloo atmosphere. And there's other tracks in there. Like there's a dueling slash combat track. There's a stealth track. And it's just enough to convey the feeling that it needs to convey, which is perfectly fine. It's more than I could have asked for. The more I get away from what I wanted, the more I can appreciate what I've got. So overall, Ghost of Yotei is just kicking all kinds of ass. I'm coming up on 30 hours. I've only taken out one of the Yotei six, and that was pretty early in the game. I'm closing in on a second one. I have some clues to a third one, and I'm starting to hear hear little murmurs about the fourth and the fifth. So it's like that, where yeah, you're progressing the story, but you're also chasing up leads and getting information, and like you're encircling your target and weakening their structures, and then eventually closing in on them. It's man, it's just it looks great, it moves beautifully, it feels great to play. It's an awesome game. It's like if you really want, it's like that Red Dead stroke for Ghost of Tsushima, where now it just feels like more of a samurai mercenary simulator than just an action game. So, I'm having a blast with it, enjoying the puzzles, enjoying the challenges. The exploration is rewarding, and it just captures that essence and that energy of just the Japanese countryside, and I love it to death. But yeah, that's enough out of me. AMC, what have you been playing?
One game this week, no Overwatch for me this week. Actually, I played for a second. I bought finally landed on a character skin that I wanted from the Persona collab, and so I ended up with Panther. I was debating it down to the wire. Yeah, it was between with the main character, Joker, and then Panther, which was Wu Yang and Wu Tang, another Wu Yang and your girl Mercy. So I was just sitting there just debating which one I wanted. And there's a part that just kept coming back to like, this Panther skin is kind of just killing it. Whereas Wu Yang is Joker, who is the main character of Persona, which is the character you play as. So you kind of have an affinity for that character. But when it comes to like that, just that the look of the characters, Panther just stands out more than Joker does. If I was sitting there, and then I brought in Marissa just before I set it on one. I was like, what do you think? Which one? And she immediately went with Panther. So I knew that I had made the right choice. Got Panther skin, got that. Right after that, then I was like, all right, I'm done with Overwatch for a little bit. And I started playing Zelda, and that's what I've been playing this entire week. It's just been all Zelda. Really enjoying that game. Just what I would say, like, I'm like 60 hours into it, and I feel like that game, one, I'm still learning a ton about the game as I play it because there's just so many different mechanics and little things to unlock with like or find with like the Zonai devices, which the Zonai are the ancient civilization, and with the upheaval, all of their equipment just started ending up around the world. There's also these dispensers that release Zonai tools for you to then use for crafting certain things. And so through that, like just playing the game, what I enjoy is, as I was saying, is that everything seems to be meaningful when it comes to like exploring and engaging with the game. So one of the things is I went to the Sky Islands. I hadn't really been exploring a lot of the Sky Islands because there's so much just on the land and in the depths as it is that I was like, I've been sleeping on these Sky Islands. And so I went up to one, and I find like a character NPC, and they give me a mini game for skydiving. So I'm like, okay, mini game for skydiving, I'm having it. Let me try this out. I do the mini game, and through that one, I learn how to get more control when I'm diving. Control as far as like where I want to like guide myself towards. But then two, as I completed it, then I get an outfit that then gives me more control when I'm skydiving. And so it kind of it feeds on itself. One, by playing it, you learn how to engage with the skydiving. But then two, by completing the challenge of that mini game, you then end up with a reward, which is an outfit that gives you a perk for that specific task that you when you need to skydive from a top from a platform in the air. And so through that, like it's like there's been other things like that, doing the shrines. So with the shrines, you complete the shrines and they'll give you this light essence, we'll say. And then you can use that. You collect four of those. You can turn that in and get a heart container or increase your maximum stamina. And then yeah, you have the two options. You can choose there. So that's like incentive enough to do the shrines, but all the shrines, the tasks, one there, I haven't run through one that was like too hard. Like they all take about like 10 minutes, maybe a little bit more to complete, depending on the difficulty, but they're all fairly easy. Some are even, you just walk right in and they just give you the light essence. What I enjoy about it is that they're not too difficult. And then through doing the shrines, you always learn how to engage with one of your abilities. Like one of the ones is recall. And I had a shrine that was all about manipulating things with recall. And so it'd be like, you put this block on this platform, and then the platform launches the block across this pit. I'm like, okay, I did that. That's cool. But how does that help me? And it's like, all right, well, this is clearly about recall, because they'll kind of give you a hint by how the shrine is named in the description under it. So I'm like, all right, I got to use recall. And you quickly remember, like, oh yeah, recall. It can basically call back any object to from where you sent it. And so basically, what I did is I let the thing shoot up across, then I recall it back, and it basically allow, and then I get on it, and then if I basically undo the recall, it sends me back in that direction. And so you can kind of always do something with an ob manipulate an object to like carry a certain path, and then through recall, you can then ride that object along that path that you just created. So if you ever need to get to something. So it's like little things like that. Like you feel like a wizard, but you're kind of manipulating time through that way. And it just feels like you're a magician, but it's just this ability that you have. So like little things like that, it's like, oh, I was completely sleeping on this. So I went into another shrine and there was just a bunch of rockets, and I need rockets to get through this shrine. And through that, I learned that if I attach, so in the game, a big thing is that you get an ability where you can fuse objects onto each other, and you can fuse objects onto your shield or onto your weapon. And so there's all these rockets littered around this shrine. So I'm trying to figure out how to puzzle solve it. And I quickly realize if I attach a rocket to my shield and then I pull out my shield to guard, it activates the rocket, and then the rocket shoots me up in the air. So I was like, oh shit, I could have been riding these fucking rockets into the air this entire time, which means now when I go to mountains and I'm going to climb, I can kind of just look, and if I have some rockets on me, attach it to my shield and just rocket myself up the mountain as opposed to climb up the mountain every time. And so it's like little details like that that add to your traversal. Another thing that I found, like I found all these Zonai devices, and I finally found a controlling stick, because early on in the game I'd find all these carts and that I could stick wheels on. I could put a fan on it, the fan will push the cart forward, but I had no way of controlling it. And so I would kind of just point it in the direction, stick the fan on, hit the fan, and then let the thing just kind of guide me there. Well, now I actually found a steering mechanism where I can actually control the direction of the device that I'm riding on. I can control the wheels, like I can steer them. And so through that, now I can, in essence, make a car in the game to drive around in.
Damn.
So yeah, and like I'm 60 hours in just getting that. And so yeah, like there's so much to unlock as you explore the game. So it very much, like we talk about it all the time, where people kind of struggle with games because they like to just bypass shit. Like how can I get a waypoint and then skip over all this content? And it's like, well, you skip over all that stuff and you quickly learn that stuff that you're skipping over is intended to help you in some type of way. It's not just kind of just material that you then just like discard or you just turn in for money. Like you actually end up finding a lot of things, talking to people that give you useful information. But yeah, so it's like one of those games that I feel like I'm slowly going through it just based off of how much I've unlocked. But because I've been kind of engaging with all the different caves, the shrines, the islands, and the mini games, it's taught me how to use so many different things within the games. Like I mentioned the other week, by finding a character, helping him out, and then going through this entire side quest, I end up on the slopes and I'm now shield surfing. And through that, I learned that shield surfing was something I could have been doing this entire time in the game. And so yeah, it's like it's one of those games that every interaction seems pretty meaningful, because if you're not getting an outfit, a special item, then you're getting useful information that you can then utilize for how you engage with the world, traverse the world, and things like that. And so it's a game that I'm constantly in awe of when I play Zelda Tears of the Kingdom, and I can't wait to just put more hours, because it's always fun and it feels always different and there's always something new around every corner. So this game is my shit, and I am enjoying the living daylights out of it, A-Dub. That's all I got here. Let's move on. We'll take a break and we will come back with our next topic of the week.
Topic of
Topic
the
of the
week.
week. All right, we are back. A dub. Would you break us off of that first topic of the week?
Topic of the week.
The
Cover from IGN, Wesley Yin Poole. Halo Studios teases deep dive on what it's been working on at an October panel you won't want to miss. In a post on Halo Waypoint, the Microsoft-owned developer says it has a panel planned for Friday, October 24th, at the Halo World Championship 2025, its big esports event. Back in June, we let the community know that we'd be continuing the conversation from last year's Halo WC and a new Dawn video and sharing more about what we've been working on. Like last year, we'll be on the main stage to talk about it, but this year, we've also got a deep dive panel planned for the community stage that you won't want to miss. So, as you guys know, Halo is being made by what is now Halo Studios, formerly 343. They put out Halo Infinite, didn't do too well, wasn't very well received. And now we're in where we are now, where Halo is being remade on Unreal 5. Maybe we'll get some information about that. So it's going to be very interesting to see what they have to unveil. AMC, are you looking forward to anything in particular? You thinking about getting that Xbox when they will ultimately be coming down in price?
Well, who knows? I mean, the game might be coming to PlayStation, so I might not even need it. But yeah, I actually am interested. I'm always interested in, there's like the term tentpole franchises, like franchises that kind of define certain like companies. And Halo is obviously a big one for Microsoft and Xbox. So you would like to see that game find its footing again. It's weird because it's not that it didn't find its footing with Halo Infinite. People seem to like it. It's when it came to the live service aspect of it and the supporting of it, that's where people were like, ah, it's not enough to keep me around them. And so because of that, then the game feels like it was lacking because it's just like, all right, I played through the single player content, but the multiplayer isn't quite there. And they weren't doing enough to support the multiplayer, at least in a fast enough fashion to keep people constantly engaged. And so yeah, that's it'll be interesting to see now as they break, if they, I'm assuming they're going to break away from that, then what's going to be the plan of attack. But I do like the fact that they've completely just renamed it to Halo Studios. So, because that means we're serious now, so
Exactly. All in.
it's none of this 343 shit. Like we saw it in a way with Battlefield where it's like, all right, we're bringing in Vince, we're dedicating all these studios, we're now serious about Battlefield, and it seems like EA has gotten that franchise back on track with this one. We'll see. Still hasn't launched, but based on the beta and the early sessions that people got to play and experience, people are really hyped about this new Battlefield. Do you want to see that with Halo? You like to see Halo get back on track with, great, like highly anticipated games that also meet those expectations. And so we shall see what they have to offer. Man, I felt like Halo Infinite just came out, but it has been a while, so
It's
like
been a minute, 2021.
exactly. So we're at a point now where yeah, we can start hearing about the next game and at least like get an announcement. Because like with Halo Infinite, they first showed us that like that was it, riding on the Warthog, and it pans out, and that's like our first glimpse of like open world Halo. And
Yes.
so yeah, we could get that first glimpse of what they have planned. They could go in many directions. I do want to see Master Chief, but if they decide to do a spin-off, we saw with Helldivers, the ODST crossover get a lot of praise and attention, and that wasn't Master Chief. So there is room for just being in the Halo universe without having necessarily to do Master Chief and all the weight that that brings. But Master Chief is also kind of the face of that franchise, and so you would like to see it get back on track with him. Who knows which route they'll go? I know people have speculated with this multi-platform approach that would it be now a good time to reboot Halo for, if assuming that it's going to come to PlayStation or Nintendo at some point, do you reboot it for all the people that haven't experienced Halo from the beginning? But so they have their options, and they could go in any direction. Halo Wars is a franchise that people also liked, which was like a real-time strategy. So they have their options, and I'm excited to see at least what direction they decide to go, because they it's about time that we heard from Halo again. So I'm ready. I'm ready. How about yourself, A-Dub?
Very much ready for it. I'm optimistic on the move to Unreal 5 that they've done for this and all their future games.
It won't play just like every other game, Ada. Won't have all the same issues as every other game.
It probably will, but it'll be in a Halo skin, and it's just been so long since I've been in that Halo universe that like, just, I know it's not going to be the same as every game. It might have a frame pacing issue or a memory leak issue. And then Halo Studios is going to have to figure that out. And
Restart
hopefully,
your restart your console.
hey, if it works, if it works.
Exactly. I mean, people were playing Borderlands, like they had their issues, but people were still enjoying Borderlands and playing it. So you can't say that it makes the games bad. But yeah, keep going.
Yeah, if the game is good, it will shine above the performance issues. No problem. So, yeah, looking forward to Halo. It's gonna look and move great in Unreal 5. As long as they get the performance nailed down, I think it stands a really good shot. So I'm optimistic. Like, that's where I am with that. But let the AMC get you into the next topic of the week. Top
The
topic of
topic
the
of the
week.
week. Yeah, I came across this story. This segment can be news that you might have missed during Tokyo Game Show from last week. So we were talking about this week. I wanted to bring it back because this was a program that I enjoyed, and so we have an update to it. So this is an article from IGN called "We Lost PlayStation Stars for This?" question mark.
Oh, yeah.
Sony announces franchise rewards, a timed limited physical merch program with items locked behind trophies, trophies, trophies. So let's get into this. This article from IGN. Sony has announced Franchise Rewards, a new program that grants players the ability to buy physical PlayStation merchandise if you unlock specific in-game trophies by a certain date. This
FOMO.
game kicks off with Ghost Rewards unlocked by earning specific trophies in Sucker Punch's Ghost of Tsushima before December 31st, 2025. If you unlock the Mono no Aware Gold Trophy, you'll be granted the ability to pay $30 or €33 for a commemorative t-shirt. Unlock the Living Legend Platinum Trophy, and you can additionally choose to pay $25 or €28 for a commemorative pin. So you're paying, you get a pin with the platinum, you get a shirt with the gold. Let's see, you'll also then need to pay shipping on top, with standard delivery price at around $13 within the
I
US.
love the wording of this article.
Oh, they are totally just
They're
shitting
eviscerating.
over. Or expedited delivery for around $25. Let's see. The initial fan response. Okay, so we even got some trolls. IGN did the work of getting some trolls in here. The initial fan response to the scheme has been mixed, with many pointing to its announcement as a lackluster replacement for Sony's recently retired PlayStation Stars loyalty program. So this is the first comment. We went from getting points from buying games to buy more games for free to getting points that give us the honor of giving them more money. Ugh. Then another person wrote in, "We lost PlayStation Stars for this, bruh. Give the PlayStation Store cards back." Ugh. So let's see. PlayStation will continue its scheme with the next set of franchise
This
rewards.
word choice is
Yeah,
masterful, dude.
yeah. For the upcoming Ghost of Yote later this year, more details on that will be announced in the future. So I felt this fit in because this is going to be a episode full of choices from companies and fan reaction to them. So A-Dub, we had the Stars program as mentioned before. Now we
I
got the
loved
new
it.
program. So how do you feel about this replacement to our PlayStation Stars program?
Well, I'm of two minds, AMC. The first mind is that, wow, that's quite a step down. That's putting it incredibly mildly. We went from getting points for buying stuff that we could use to get discounts on other stuff, to now we got a system where we're earning the opportunity to pay more money. That's just weird. That's weird. Like that one response got it right. However, I'm also of the second mind that has experienced the havoc that can be wrought by scalpers and their bots. And my feeling is that although this seems bad on its face, it might be an interesting way to filter out people who are just trying to resell stuff, buy things in bulk, force their way to acquire as many of these things as there are, and then sell them back at inflated prices. So if it's tied to a profile, getting a trophy by playing a game, and these aren't just trophies that you could just chill out for a couple hours and earn. Like, this is a platinum trophy. This is probably a trophy for completing the game. So you gotta put the work in. So as long as the offerings are commensurate to whatever the price is, then I think it could be successful because it's allowing the players themselves to have first dibs on limited product rather than having that stuff just go to the open market and everybody has to fend for themselves. So not only is it being restricted to just people, but it's also like you have to put that work in. So you can't just show up because you had a certain number of hours on your profile or because you had a certain number of games or because you logged in within a certain period of time. Like, you gotta play that game. So I can see the benefits a system like this can present, even though on its face it sounds horrible, and especially with these Ghost of Yotei offerings not being particularly desirable. It's just gonna be something that we'll have to see how it matures over time and if it's gonna be enough to actually win people over. So I'm willing to give it the benefit of the doubt at this point. It doesn't look entirely like a total loss. I'm gonna miss those point cards, but at the same token, let's see what they're offering over time. How about yourself, AMC?
Yeah, it's so for me personally, it does nothing for me. I've never been a collector's edition person, like ever. So the idea of buying a game and then getting an opportunity to buy merch for the game, like it doesn't really do, like I personally like the Stars reward program was just a lot better because it one it, I like the idea that incentivize buying games, which is ultimately like what we keep talking about is like. People need to buy games to keep this going. People need to buy games, and so I felt like the rewards program incentivized people like engaging with that process. Like buy it. Oh, you get like 200 points here. You do they you would go on the app and be like, oh, like do this thing or play this game for this month. You'll get 300 points for that towards the program,
I
and all of
loved
it
it.
cut. Yeah, all of it just added up. I actually had the bookshelf. Like I would check out A Dubs every now and then, which he didn't go all out with it. I was a little upset, but I never took the time to message you on that. But
You had said
I
something, I'd put a little more effort into it.
agree.
As long as I had Jump and Flash on there, I was good.
Yeah, I had like the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. Like it was great. Like actually, like I would collect those. I would redeem my rewards, and then I'd always like put the things on the shelves, and when I say redeem, it's like do this activity and you get it, not like hand over my points to get like an NFT. Like it would, yeah. And so, but I did enjoy getting the points, which then I'd always just use to buy like a $20 or a $5 gift card, have that there, and then it would just go towards buying my next game. And so I really enjoyed that kind of cash back reward program that they had. So this one. It is for the collector, and I know that there's a ton of people out there, and so there will be people who engage with this and will love like kind of the idea. Like I, one of the things I think I'd mentioned on the show in the past, but if not, Destiny did this where they would have like certain things, like basically perform these certain tasks in this event for this season, and you get an opportunity to buy this merch. They would also do stuff like they would release a raid, and if you completed the raid. Like the fastest or within the first 24 hours, and within a certain amount of people, you would get the opportunity to buy a jacket. So it's like you got
Huh.
this, like I completed this raid jacket, and
Get
to the degree that I
your
believe
raid jacket? I would
it,
love to have a raid jacket. Yeah.
it exactly. And it was to the degree that there was so much prestige behind it that people were cheat, like they, I think one of the last raids, like it was like found out all these people were cheating in order to complete the raid faster, and so like Bungie had to like go in and like, nah, you don't get a jacket, you don't get a jacket. But yeah, they were coveted in a way, so it does create engagement. And I've never been one of those persons that people that gets upset when it's like, hey, we got a limited time crossover event in Overwatch, we'll say, and it's to get people to play their fucking game, or we got a battle pass, so please play it for this 2 month, like please play it during this 2 month period to unlock this stuff. And if not, it goes into the and it goes into the ether, which is now at least they brought it back by way of what is it, loot boxes. But yeah, like so
Loot
I've never
boxes, the
been,
shop.
yeah, so I've never been a person that's been like, they're creating FOMO. I never really cared about that. But for this one in particular, it just on a personal level, I prefer the Stars program, so it's gonna be one of those things that I end up ultimately ignoring. And maybe if they see that people aren't really engaging with it, then they'll adjust it to something that's a little more engaged. Because ultimately, what they want is they want to get people to play the games and to buy the games. It's they're trying to do that. And but this is, yeah, I'm not a buy merch and just keep that shit on a shelf type of person. I already
Oh.
got too much stuff as it is. So yeah, this doesn't do much for me, but it is what it is. It has that's how it's gonna be. A dub, do you need a break or do you want to jump right into the next topic of the week?
Top topic of the week. We could jump right into
Yeah.
it. Yeah, so big news over the weekend, man, or at least over the week, over the past week. Xbox Game Pass Ultimate price rises to 30 a month from 20. Microsoft adds more day one games and throws in Fortnite Crew and
Does
Ubisoft
it?
Plus classics to help justify the cost.
Did they?
Ultimate jumps a whopping 50% in the United States. Let's get a little more substance here because personally, I still don't quite understand the ramifications of this, since I'm not a Game Pass subscriber. Let's see. That says in July. Well, in July they raised the price of Ultimate from $16.99 to $19.99.
99.
That was in July 2024. Now,
Yeah.
14 months later, Microsoft has once again hiked the price of Ultimate, which jumps from $19.99 a month to $29.99 a month. That's an increase of 50% in the US, an extra $120 per year. In the UK, that jumps 53.33%, with Ultimate rising from £14.99 to £22.99, or an extra £96 a year. See, now in a blog post reviewed by IGN, Microsoft justified the price hike by adding various new features to Game Pass. And some big news, including Warner Brothers Blockbuster. Oh, big new games, sorry, including Warner Brothers Blockbuster, Hogwarts Legacy. So, yeah, man. Ultimate Game Pass tier and price changes October 2025. Game Pass Ultimate going to 29. Premium, $14.99 a month, same as the old standard subscription. Essential, $9.99 a month, the same as the old core subscription. Oh, so they changed their tiers too, and these match Sony's tiers. Essential, premium, ultimate, essential. What is it? Premium or something? I don't
I think they've always
all
had
these tiers.
yeah,
Let's
they've
just
always
stick with
had the
essential.
tiers. Yeah, exactly.
Oh yeah, but they renamed them. Like it used to be core and standard, now it's essential and premium. The updated prices have gone into effect as of October 1st for new subscribers, and they will go into effect November 4th for current subscribers. As part of the announcement, Microsoft added more than 45 new games to Game Pass. Wow. So, AFC, what are your initial thoughts about this news and how it's going to affect things?
It's interesting because when I first saw it, like my first pushback was like, well, they're giving you all these rewards programs. And like, as I'm looking through it, like The Verge has an article. So with the Fortnite crew and Ubisoft Classics, that's a combined $28 a month value for now the Ultimate subscribers, which is the Ultimate is $30. So those two things alone would technically be about as much as just getting Ultimate Game Pass. Then there's the added you can earn up to $100 per year, 100,000 points by playing games. And so that gets you about what, like another 2 months, that gets you 2 months of Game Pass Ultimate. So I was like looking at all that stuff and I was like, you know what? Like, especially on the heels of like what I had like read, because I'd read the PlayStation update and I was like, this is some bullshit. It's like getting rid of the loyalty program for this new thing. And so I was like, at least they're getting like a rewards program where they can earn money back. But then there's a part of me that like I look at it and it's just like I don't really understand who it's for, because it's like if you're going on Ultimate, getting basically access to Fortnite's Battle Pass for in essence for free, but it's in that pricing. But getting access to Fortnite's Battle Pass, it's a free game, so I don't really understand why you'd be paying for Ultimate to get access to content in a free game. But maybe their assumption is like everybody plays Fortnite, so we're gonna just throw this in as an added incentive. And then like Ubisoft Classics, I'm sure that people will enjoy having all those additional games added in from that service. But at the same time, like this is where like I don't know how much people engage with when it comes to Game Pass, because really the selling point is the day one when it comes to Ultimate. And so I would think that when you're doing this type of price increase, it's because you have the intention of we see what we have coming, I guess, next year. And it's like we have a ton of first party games and we've already established all these third-party deals that we haven't announced yet. And so they're going to be getting a steady supply of day one games that we feel are justifies this $30 per month. But I like it's for me, it's like the whole identity behind this is the value. And I don't really see $30 per month as a value anymore. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. Like, I mean, I'll be interested to hear what you have to say. But another big thing for me is like, and this is going to be a whole side tangents, you guys can skip ahead if you want, but like just a philosophical side tangent with like the idea of like your reputation and like does anybody care about their reputation anymore when it comes to making these decisions? Because like you know with Microsoft it was we literally just had the console price hike and then a couple weeks later then you got Game Pass price hike, so they're just upping the like they're just upping the prices on everything, like this just like fuck it. And it's a part of me is like so I step out of gaming and I look at WWE, and a thing that's going on right now is like a lot of WWE fans are complaining that the price of the tickets is just way too high. And that's because so what happened is they got bought, it used to be owned by Vince McMahon. And then this group Endeavor, which became TKO after, I believe, after they bought the UFC, they became a publicly traded company. And then they bought WWE on top of it. So they're kind of like this fight corporation or whatever. They also started with Zuffa Boxing through UFC. And so it's kind of like all this stuff centered around combat sports and entertainment, if you will, with WWE. And since it's a publicly traded company, you know, we hear the earnings calls and they caught like the one of the heads, I don't know if the CEO or like the president, he was like commenting on like how they're making a lot more money. And he said, because Vince was concerned about like making a family friendly price for the audience for WWE so that they could bring the entire family, whereas we are all about making that money, and so we're just jacking up the tickets. Damn the family if you can bring the entire family. To that point, they are selling out. Like, yeah, they're still selling out. There's still thousands of people showing up while complaining about the prices. And is that where I get back to the reputation thing, where it's like people are complaining, and yet the companies are still doing what they want to do. We're even seeing it with this is what I said tangent. We're even seeing it with this whole Riyadh thing, the Riyadh Comedy Festival, where all these comedians who talk about like free speech in America, complain about cancel culture, are getting this huge sum of money to go and perform comedy in Saudi Arabia, where they're being told you can't talk about this, 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 and this, but you're going to get paid millions of dollars. So they're like, well, we're just gonna get this bag. Damn the pushback from our fans. we're getting this money. That's where I say I'm all about get like I'm totally fine with people getting the bag. Companies get the bag, whatever. But at some point, it's going to affect your reputation. With the comedians, yeah, you can go get that money, but now when you go and you rail on certain things, you kind of just have a little less weight to the point that you're making because you've shown that your opinions can be bought, or silenced. And then with the corporations, you can keep raising the prices of the consoles and all the services to just kind of like get the money out of the whales. Like that's what I look at when I look at that PlayStation program, that new program. It's basically like, who are the whales? They'll be the ones who want to get these trophies and will want to spend an extra $30 on a shirt or $25 on a pin because
Shirt.
they're all about just giving us money and supporting the cause. And so they're leaning into those people. And that like I look at this Game Pass thing with the $30, and it's like they're like, who, if these console people are still willing to pay it, then we're just gonna up the price. And it's just like, and so we'll see. Like there's now this pushback, people talking about canceling their subscriptions. So we will see that be that we'll see how effective that is. And I'm happy to see that type of reaction because, as I said, continuing this tangent, we saw that with like the Jimmy Kimmel getting like indefinitely suspended for a period of time. People started canceling
For a couple
their,
days.
yeah, people immediately started canceling their Hulu and Disney Plus subscriptions. And then we saw he was back on air within 4 days. And so I know that there's a lot of people who push back against, like, the reaction, the outrage from like consumers or from fans. But I think it's necessary in some situations to let people know, like, what is okay and what's not okay. And so, as I said, these companies can keep pushing it, but at some point, your reputation can take only so many hits before people are kind of just like, all right, we see who you are. And now we no longer give you the benefit of the doubt when it comes to just certain things, or we're not going out of our way to ride for you or to support you. Yeah, that's like when I see this, like this price hike, it's a freaking $10 price hike. Like I complain when like Netflix and companies like raise their streaming service by like $2 like every other year or every year. Like it's like, what the fuck, man? But going $10, that's like absolutely ridiculous. And so yeah, we shall see how people react. But as I am very much pro consumer, which with the idea that yes, we do need to spend money in order to keep things going. But I'm very much like don't give these corporations the benefit of the doubt. Don't ever feel like you need to support them. Like right now, I had Crunchyroll. I canceled it right after Solo Leveling because I was like, oh, I have Demon Slayer on Netflix. So why would I keep paying Crunchyroll while I'm using Netflix to watch Demon Slayer? So I cancel it, and then when I'm done with Demon Slayer, I'll get Crunchyroll back, and then I'll go back to, and then I'll go to Kaiju number 8. But this idea of just
Oh.
handing over your money to businesses, assuming that they have your best interests in mind because they gave you content, like it's, I don't know, like I think content is being highly overvalued because it's just like people are like companies are just paying so much money for content, as we may discuss later with like EA, and it's like creating these issues because then you now need to like recoup that money back because you're assuming this content is the most important thing in the world when the fact is that there's just a ton of content coming from all places. And so content has value, but it's only for specific audiences. And if they're willing to pay up for that when they have other options on top of that. And that'll be the end of my rant. But yeah, it's, as I said, these companies, they need to keep in mind that your rep at the end of the day is still somewhat important. You can't just sweep everything under a rug, when it comes to making these decisions and, just getting money out of your consumers. But that's all I got there, A-Dub. Do you got to get your words in here, or we could take a break and then you can get your piece and talk as long as you want about this price hike. How do you feel about this price hike, A-Dub?
We can take the break first.
Yeah, let's take the break because I feel like there's a lot more with it. So we'll be right back and continue with this topic of the week.
Topic of
Topic of
the
the
week.
week. All right, we're back. A-Dub after AMC's rant. How do you feel about this price increase for Game Pass?
Well, on the consumer side, it definitely sucks just because a 50% price increase. after hardware got a price increase, after there was already increases to the cost of the service last year. That's just a lot of upward arrows in a very short period of time for regular people who probably only have gaming as their outlet for dealing with the way that the world is right now. So it just kind of it puts a lot of people who probably weren't in the best situations to begin with in even worse situations. Like, I've seen a lot of backlash to this, a lot of people proclaiming that they'll cancel, and those figures will be very interesting just from a data standpoint. And yeah, man, I mean, as a consumer, to see the top tier with all the big stuff just go from 20 to 30, like, that's it is sticker shock on an individual level. I'm like, hey, it's a big increase percentage wise, but it's 10 bucks. Like, I hate to be this guy, but we're complaining about 10 bucks again. And like, I understand the greater scheme of things, where it's okay, but first it was $70, now it's about to be $80, now it's $10 here on Game Pass, it's price raises on the console. Like, it's the continuing upward trend of prices. I'm just looking at the Game Pass thing kind of in isolation, to put it in a better perspective for myself. And it's like, when you really start to math it out, and again, another guy that I hate to be, but it's like the breaking point was five games. Because I thought, like, it's, and I'm not, it's not like a aha or a gotcha moment kind of thing here, but I'm just thinking about it logically, where, like, I guess the loudest voices here would be the people who don't really have, like, a lot of time to play games, or maybe they spend a lot of time with individual games. But then, if that's the case, why do you have Game Pass? Because this is the idea of Game Pass, to have access to a lot of games, to be able to try and play a whole bunch of different things. And I guess that magic number is five. So this is kind of weird to me. And I'm getting five, we're at 360 a year divided by 70. So it's like five games. However, like I said, this is definitely the people who play on the lower end, and it's unfortunate, but you still have the option to buy, you still have the option to wait for sales. Like, it isn't as if prices are going to remain rigid at any point. It's unfortunate the prices are going up, but there are still options. I guess if Microsoft is doing this, they must feel strongly that whatever they're going to lose isn't going to be as much as they're going to gain. So that's another reason why I'm interested in just the raw data of it, just to see if their gamble is going to pay off, because this is an incredibly risky one. Like you were saying earlier, when you were talking about it, the reputation. It's like, yeah, you may gain better quarterly numbers, you may hit your profit milestones, or whatever else you need to show the higher ups that you guys are running a successful business down there. But then, at what cost does that come? Because there's a lot of doom and gloom that's, spiraling from this story. There are rumors of, oh, they're canceling their hardware, and they made a deal with AMD. So until there's other more substantial information to contradict their future plans on that regard, let's just keep all the rumors and the speculation to a minimum. But at the same token, look where we are, look what we're doing. So who's to
Well,
say
if
things won't
anything,
change?
yeah, if anything, like it's interesting because they're so people are like, oh, they're getting away from hardware, but it's almost like, are they getting away from this current state of what you think of Xbox when it comes to the console? Because clearly they just launched the handheld, and the handheld is a PC device. And one of the things I heard right after this price hike is it's clear that PC Game Pass is the best deal. It still gets all the day one games, and it's, I believe, for like $16, whereas the console Ultimate is $30. So it's almost half the price of console. And Yeah, the new ROG device is going to be running PC Game Pass. So basically, you'll get access to all the games day one on that device, on top of buying Steam games from GOG. For me, like when I first looked at it, I was like, are they basically incentivizing people to get on PC Game Pass and then with the rewards, I'm guessing PC Game Pass has like some type of rewards programs in it where you can earn money, who knows? But basically to get people to spend money on the Microsoft store on the PC side. So it's like in a way, like as I said, like leaning into the whales. Like with the console people, it's like, well, the people who are still riding with us, we're basically gonna generate as much money from them as possible since they're sticking with us. And then we're gonna push everything else towards this ROG device and getting people interested in it. So I don't know, but it was something that was interesting when I did notice that PC still seems to be getting the better end of the deal time and time again, which means they still value PC very much as a growth opportunity. And with this ROG device launching and having PC Game Pass and having the best deal when it comes to Game Pass, that all seems to kind of line up from a, it's not messaging because they're not saying it straight up, but just how they're aligning things. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that goes because yeah, it is interesting that PC is getting a lot of love right now, whereas console isn't. Yeah. But yeah, we shall see. But do you have anything else with this topic, Ada?
Well, I don't, but some other folks do. We got some reactions from the trolls on the bridge. We got troll of the week, troll of the
Troll of the
week,
week,
troll of the
troll of the
week,
week,
troll of the
troll of the
week,
week,
troll of the
troll of the
week,
week, week,
week, week.
week, week, week.
Today's trolls coming sideways, and Xbox hiking the price for Game Pass Ultimate. First troll says, "Why is Phil Spencer still in charge? After all the studio closures and mass firings, he should have gotten the boot already. And now they're rubbing salt in the wound." Rubbing salt. Next troll says, "They should have blamed it on tariffs." Next troll, "Yep, they for sure trying to kill this console." Next troll says, "These games still cannot justify the price for Ultimate. It's ultimate crap." Next troll says, "What happened, Xbox fans? $650 for a Series X, $1,000 for a reskin ROG Ally, and now $30 a month for Game Pass. I tried warning you years ago this is gonna happen. Satya wants his money back from that Activision deal, which crippled Xbox. Don't say I didn't warn you." Damn, he went in on
Gotcha.
them, breaking it down, listing the numbers off. Next troll says, "If there was ever a good day for Sony to shadow drop Bloodborne 2, yeah, that would have been the exact opposite of the news that Microsoft dropped." Last troll says, "I like how Microsoft always trots out someone I've never seen to be the person that announces and explains bad news. Sacrificial lamb. Notice how it's never Phil. Can't tarnish his rep." I think Phil's rep is significantly tarnished at this point.
Who did they trot out to announce this?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I don't think they tried out anyway. I think it was like announced in a blog post or some shit.
As far as these trolls, man, I mean, I understand the outrage. It's a lot in a series of more a lot that happened along the way. So it's not funny. I laugh because of the ridiculousness of just where the economy is going, why things are the way
Just
they
where
are.
the industry is going is just everything is getting more expensive. Like it's insane, and that's like it's like we laugh at Microsoft, but like you know, like Nintendo, they announced price increases for accessories. They still haven't done it for the console. They did it for the
Yeah, I
old
forgot
Switch
about that.
console. Yeah, they did it for the old Switch console, and they did it for accessories. And then PlayStation has obviously also increased the price of their console. So it's like it's just this thing of like we're just accepting price increases. It's just like, okay, like that's just the name of the game right now. Like it's weird. Like that's why I said, like it's you can get upset at Microsoft, but it's happening throughout the entire industry. And as I was alluding to, it's happening outside of the industry. It's people were just they're putting this value on like content and experiences where it's like,
Yeah.
hey, people are willing to pay the premium price for content experiences, and so we're just going to charge that, and you're going to deal with
Well, they're like they
it.
seem to be buying and selling content like they're trading securities. And like they think that they're gonna put some money over here, this is gonna grow, and then they can offload it somewhere else or something like that, or make some guaranteed stream of revenue. And it just doesn't work like that. And they keep jacking up the prices to get back all this money that they're paying these overinflated prices for on stuff that's just not going to get the kind of draw they're looking for. Like, I don't. How many more people did they think they were going to add to the gaming market? Like, how much harder? Like, did they think the games would be selling on the level of Grand Theft Auto 5, like, routinely by now or something?
I don't
Because
know, because like we're almost like at a point now where you can't even blame the pandemic, because that was a lot of like the layoffs and whatnot. It's like, oh well, you know, they rapidly expanded because they thought all these new gamers were coming in, and so now we've seen all these layoffs. But then it's now transitioned from that to then tariffs, and so we're not only doing layoffs, we're now increasing prices, and eventually people have given them the benefit of the doubt because there is that narrative going on. But I guess it's just the question is, when will consumers stop consuming is like the big part. Because like I think companies wouldn't do this if people didn't continue to still shell out cash for the content. And so I'm just wondering when that breaking point is going to be, when the consumer's like, now we're not putting up with this shit anymore. Like, or you need to, you know what I'm
Microsoft's
saying?
cancellation page reached its breaking point because people crashed that trying to break out of the service.
Yeah, exactly.
But at the same token, you got to think, like, is that because it was just such an overwhelming amount of people that were trying to cancel their service that it crashed the system? Or maybe the system probably wasn't designed to handle a lot of volume in the first place. Probably crashed like out of the first 1,000 or something. I don't know. It's just funny details to think about, not to try to discredit or diminish anything that's going on. Like, this is a big deal. A lot of people are proclaiming that they're canceling their service. So, going back to buying games and waiting on sales. GameStop trying to get their little dig in, talking about they're still going to be selling Game Pass Ultimate at the old price, knowing that they just had a bunch of stock left in the back. Trying to
Exactly.
make it seem like they're standing up for people. They're just trying to clear inventory.
Buy some GameStop stock. Buy some Xbox Game Pass coupons.
It's crazy. So AMC, you think this is the breaking point where you're just never going to get into the Xbox ecosystem?
Well, I was never going to get Game Pass, so yeah, that wasn't going to happen. I'm more importantly, I want to see if this is the break. Like, what is the breaking point for just gamers in general? Because as I said, like, it's they complain about $80 games, and we still haven't seen that fully adopted within the industry. But there will be a point where games become $80, and will the drop in price be enough for then companies to consider just their approach? And for me, like, I would think, like, I'm surprised we just haven't gotten to the point of shrinkflation, which is we charge $60 for a game that's not 80 hours long.
Oh no, we got there already because Sony decided to put smaller hard drives in the PS5,
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
but
Yeah.
still charge the same price.
Yeah, that's right. And so yeah, like that's what I assumed, like this was all ahead, is just we're gonna get more shrinkflation as opposed to, you know, keep doing it and just charge more. And so yeah, we shall see. But I want to see what the breaking point's gonna be, because as I said, it's not necessarily in gaming, but people still keep paying this. Like, if they say something is an event, people are gonna pay thousands of dollars to be there live. Like, if everybody's like, oh, you need to watch Mike Tyson fight Jake Paul, people are gonna get Netflix subscriptions to watch an ass fight. Like, it's just like it's like people just keep handing over their cash for nothing. And so yeah, I
And
want to
so they
see
gonna
what
start giving you nothing, or they gonna start jacking the price up.
exactly. And so that's what, like, for me, that's the thing, is like, when are people gonna be like, there's enough content, I don't need to pay this ridiculous amount to be, you know, what is it, to be a part of the moment.
Yeah.
So
Now
yeah.
I know correlation is not causation. However, it is kind of interesting that the sudden rush of price hikes and shrinkflation seem to follow not too long after $80 games were by and large successfully resisted. So they go get their money. Like that's a recurring theme of the show. Like every time there's some pushback on some monetary change, it shows up somewhere else. It shows up worse. Maybe with $80 games, you'd still have $20 game pass. But who's to say? It's just an observation.
All right, so okay, troll of the week, troll of
Troll of the
the
week. Troll of the week.
week.
Yeah, but it sucks for people to continue to get either the same or less, but get charged more just as time rolls on, and like not even a lot of time. This is the kind of stuff that you would see generationally. Like maybe after a couple years at the earliest, but like every generation, it would be like, okay, now we're doing this and this goes up this much. But now it's like, every 6 to 12 months, it's some new thing where this costs more. We're
Every
taking this
subscription
out.
service goes up in
Got
price.
tiers.
Yeah,
Every subscription
ESPN.
service got tiers, man.
Yeah, it's like ad supported or the premium. Like, oh, and then like, yeah, I can't watch WWE premium live events because they used to be on Peacock for $12. Then they signed this huge deal with ESPN, and it's now their PLEs, premium live events, are exclusive to the ESPN app, the newly app that they just dropped. But the problem is that app is $30. That means it's a $15 increase if you want to pay for the ESPN app. But what they did to incentivize people or to get people in is that, A, if you have a cable subscription to ESPN, then you get free access to our new app. So basically, you're not paying anything for these PLEs. But then what we find out later is that, oh, but we only have ESPN only has deals with certain cable providers. So YouTube TV is not one of those ones. So if you have YouTube TV, you're ass out of luck. Or if you're not paying for DirecTV streaming and you just have DirecTV cable, then you're ass out of luck and you got to pay the $30 for this ESPN thing. And so it'll be interesting to see, like, are people actually paying the $30, like basically double the price to get these premium live events? Or are they just saying, fuck that, like, I'm not watching until you figure out this deal with these cable providers? So like I don't understand what these companies are doing, but they're just doing it and they're hoping that people are going to pay regardless. And so yeah, I just shake my head at a lot of this. But I one thing I will add is it's not like they just raised the price for this. They did add a ton of
They did
content.
add stuff.
Yeah, it's just more of how additive is that content to justify the price, and that's what we shall see in the long run.
Exactly. Like, why are you making dudes pay for V-Bucks? Why are you making dudes pay for higher quality cloud streaming?
Yeah, exactly. So
The
let's move
question.
into the next story. We're going to continue this trend of paying a shit ton of money for content. This is a
Jesus.
story by IGN. Electronic Arts goes private in a $55 billion deal with PIF, Silver Lake, and Affinity Partners, Andrew Wilson to remain as CEO. Oh.
Of course.
EA has confirmed it has agreed to be acquired by an investor group composed of PIF, Silver Lake, and Affinity Partners, a transaction valued at 55, all that shit I just said. It's the largest all-cash sponsor take private investment in history, more words and adjectives. Let's see, under the terms of the agreement, the group will acquire 100% of Electronic Arts with Saudi Arabia Public Investment Fund, rolling over its 9.9 stake in the company. Electronic Arts stockholders will receive 210 per share in cash, so the shareholders are taking are getting well compensated for this. A dub per share
Yeah, I
purchase
wish I had some
price,
shares.
yeah, represents a 25% premium on the unaffected share price of $168 per share as of September 25th, 2025, a premium to EA's unaffected all-time high of 179, yada yada yada, in the market. Yeah, following it, they're no longer publicly traded as a company, and Yeah, there's all this other shit, but I'm gonna just skip over it. Like Jared Kushner is somehow tied into
Oh,
this. So, you know, Trump is
Jesus.
making money on it.
Oh,
We got the
God.
Saudis making money on this. Yeah, $55 billion. So, you know, we thought it was done with Microsoft. People spending a ton of money for these video game companies and access to IP and content. We already know that the Saudi investment fund bought SNK. They're invested in Nintendo, and now they're part of an investment group that just bought Electronic Arts. So, hey, dub. We're still seeing people paying a ton of money to get into the video game industry. What are your thoughts on this?
I mean,
They need to get
this,
that $55 billion back. It's like what I'm looking
yeah,
at.
and I don't think they're going to be very cordial if it's taking more time than they wanted to. Like, this ain't Saudi. But, hey, maybe, I don't, it really depends on how much Madden and FC and
Battlefield.
college football now, that's back on the menu. Yeah, Battlefield. It depends on how
Mass
much.
Effect.
We'll see what happens to Mass Effect.
Dragon Age.
But at least with their tentpole franchises, like it just depends on how much they bring in annually and if enough people will stick around, given this acquisition to continue, substantiating that revenue stream. It's also going to depend on if everyone who now has their fingers in the pie can, just leave their fingers there and just let the pie keep being a pie. Because if they start trying to make decisions and start trying to, impose their beliefs and their ideas on a machine that very much works pretty well on its own, then they could very well just destroy their investment with their own hands. Like if they come back with some news where, things are getting canceled, people are getting laid off, studios are being closed, certain projects don't align with their beliefs. Let's see how that goes. It's a bit too early to call. I will say they probably overpaid, but I'm no economist. I don't know anything about EA's numbers. I just know that, the world isn't too hot on Saudi Arabia or Jared Kushner or just, big money coming in from left field and just trying to buy its way into the industry. So, as long as if EA can remain on the trajectory that it's been on and continue to just operate as it has been, like, let's get Jedi 3 out. Let's get this Iron Man game out from Motive. Let's see what Joseph Ferris comes up with to follow up Split Fiction. Let's see more of the interesting and creative products while keeping that foundation of the annualized properties continuing to generate revenue. Like, if they can keep all that intact, I feel like the money can be made back, probably not as soon as they want it to, but it can be made back. But I don't know. I think there might be some fallout here. AMC, how do you feel?
Yeah, I mean, like as you put it, you feel like they overpaid just given the fact that they're paying a premium on the stock price is showing that they're at least overpaying what investors felt was fair value for EA at the, in the current market. And so they're overpaying for what they're projecting to be at least future profits and revenue, which is funny because we're in this time where all we hear is games are getting costing more to make. There's less people coming in, yada yada yada. So it's interesting to bet on things growing at a time like at this current moment. But yeah, I don't know. I just as like from what we've seen with Microsoft and a lot of like the layoffs and whatnot, this is a little different situation because they're not merging them with another video game company. So we're not as worried about like redundancy
Redundancies.
necessarily. Yeah. But there is the idea that if people put in a ton of money to invest in something, especially private equity, like that's a, it can go a couple ways. But a lot of times with like, especially like when you think of like BlackRock and certain companies like that, like they'll invest in companies and it's purely viewed as an investment. and they will wring it out as much as they can of how much money they can get. And then when they can't, they start selling off shit and repurposing it. And so that would be the worry, is that that's how they treat EA, is like, we're gonna look at what's profitable, and anything else that we don't understand is gonna go by the way of way is gonna go, yeah, gonna be pushed aside. And EA, like, as much as people criticize them, they have like a lot of like programs where they support, I think they had like their ID program, but they had a lot of programs where they would support third party developers and basically set them up with cash, recoup that cash, and then the developer would then make any money on top of that. I
You
think
mean
one of the
EA
games is like,
Originals?
yeah, EA Originals. I think like was it Kinzara? I forgot what the name of it is, but that fell under
Tales
that
of
program.
Kinzera Zao.
Yeah, that fell under that. And there are a couple other games there. And so I hope that
Immortals of
those games,
Avium, Split Fiction, It Takes Two.
yeah. And so I'd hope that those games still get their support through EA, because it was a good program, and we saw a lot of like great games come from that program. And so I would hate to see that go away. As you alluded to, we hope that, as I mentioned earlier with the Riyadh Comedy Festival and some of the things that they said you can't talk about there, we'd hope that that doesn't bleed into some of these games, because it's one thing if you buy SNK. Like, nobody's ever really accusing SNK of making woke trash. But
Yeah.
when you look at EA, especially like from the BioWare
Terry
standpoint,
Bogard's toxic.
yeah, when you look at EA and BioWare, and like with Dragon Age, and maybe some choices with Mass Effect, with Anthem, I guess, and getting away from the gooner qualities of those games, and moving towards the more social side of like telling stories, that could be something that they're not interested in at all, and that could go away. So we'll see how that goes. It's a little early. My big worry is, once again, the overpaying to get into the gaming industry, and then through that, the expectations and the cutting of costs to then justify that investment. And so that is my worry, but we shall see. Back on the social thing, we did like, so it's complicated, but WWE, they have had a lot of business with the Saudis. One of the things is that the Saudis pay a ton of money to get WWE to come over there. And initially, the first impact you saw was they would have the female wrestlers, they had to be like fully covered, and eventually people got used to it, and it's now to the point where like the female matches are actually like super popular in Saudi. So you do see it kind of breaking down some barriers and them allowing that like to take place. And then we see like certain other things. This isn't social, but it created a big stir in WWE, is that the next WrestleMania in 2027, I believe. Yeah, 2027 is going to be in Saudi Arabia. And I believe up until this point, every WrestleMania has been in the United States. And so it actually got a lot of people upset, because this is like a big like event that a lot of people plan their year around, to make the trip out to WrestleMania, wherever it's going to take place, and
You
it being
better
in
plan to get on a plane.
yeah and so it being in Saudi Arabia, a lot of people are just like what the fuck, man? We're not like, either they have no plans of going, or it's going to cost, once again, cost a ton of money to make that trip at work. But like WWE is like, we don't care. They gave us the bag, and so we're going there. Like, we're a publicly traded company now, and so we got to take the money from who's willing to give us the most money. And the Saudis are paying premiums on content as of right now. And not something that we didn't discuss is a lot of it is like sports washing, and when it comes to sports, but also just kind of like, cover up some of the humanitarian shit that they've done that have pissed off so many people around the world. And so we'll see if that comes into play in any type of way in the gaming, because they have shown to kind of flex their weight, because they are the financiers when it comes to these situations. So we shall see how it's going to affect EA. But I guess on the flip side, EA has been a company that has had a bad reputation in the past, and so them slipping right back into that might be a place that they're comfortable with. We shall see. But that's all I got for that one. A Dub, do you want to take a break? Do you have any quick hits that you'd like to get to? I mean, come back and do some quick hits if you want.
No, I think I'm out unless you want to talk about upcoming games for October,
Nah, that's
and
not.
beyond.
Now we can hold off. I think we'll have plenty to discuss by next week. More games coming out. I think this is a good stopping point. This is Control Issues. I am the AHC.
And this is Endgame. We are Control Issues. Thanks for playing.
Suckers.
Suckers.